the season's about to start. In fact, in 24 hours, they're going to be playing games of Major League Baseball for the 2023 season. Who's going to win? I don't know, but Miller Thomas and I, we're going to make some predictions. This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On Diamondbacks, your daily Arizona Diamondbacks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. I am an Emmy-nominated television producer who has been a baseball podcaster for well over a decade, and we are now on the verge, on the eve of our fifth season here hosting the Locked On MLB podcast. Follow us at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram, and I'm joined once again by Mr. Bajagaloop right over there. Please, Mr. Bajagaloop, tell us your name.
Yes, I'm Miller Thomas, host of the Locked On Diamondbacks podcast, a.k.a. Mr. Bajagaloop. And you can follow me on Twitter at CreatorThomas24 for my personal account. Look up Locked On Diamondbacks on both Twitter, Instagram. Please hit subscribe on the Locked On Diamondbacks YouTube channel. We're getting very close to hitting 400, so please hit subscribe on there. And of course, we're on all your podcasting platforms. Wherever you listen to Locked On MLB, you can listen to Locked On Diamondbacks as well.
Hey, man, so how many years have you been the host Locked On D-backs?
Since 2020, right before the start of the shortened season. I think I took over January 2020. So a high little minute now. Third season, I guess.
All right. I thought that was the case. I remember you were on the show when we were that was an interesting time to be a host of a daily baseball podcast. Was during the pandemic. There were no games, and we didn't know when the hell they were going to start. I was just gonna say,
we've had to go through the pandemic and the lockout short, and not but just the lockout in general.
I mean, this has been our first normal off season. You know, like I started just before the 2019 season, but then we had a pandemic before 2020, and had to fill time with that. Filling time during the lockout was a nightmare because there was nothing happening. I mean, it was fun. We had fun conversations, but this has been, we've had trades, we've had, free agent signings, and we've had WBCs. We had WBC, so we've had actual games to watch and get excited. This is like, in so many ways, it's funny. Like, I'm a native New Englander. I make no bones about the fact that I've grown up a huge Red Sox fan and everything. I think the Red Sox are going to be bad this year. And we're going to be talking about some of our predictions. But I think they're going to be bad with a capital bad. But that being said, I'm so excited for the season. Even though the team I grew up rooting for, I think, is going to stink. I just want to see how this season unfolds. And I think that it's going to be really interesting. So you and I, we did earlier this week, we did our picks for the awards. There was one award we didn't do, actually. I just want to throw that out right now. We didn't do Manager of the Year.
You could do it if you want.
Let's do Manager of the Year right now. Let's do Manager of the Year. Because I think the Manager of the Year should be renamed to Manager of the Team that you didn't expect to do well that did well. It's almost always going to go to, man, nobody saw this team contending, with very few exceptions. Who do you have for Manager of the Year in the American League?
Yeah, I'll start in the American League. I'm picking one of your favorite managers because he was the manager of your pop's favorite team back when they used to win the World Series. And also, you're kind of not really into this team. You're a little lukewarm because of that Jacob DeGrom signing.
No, I'm cold. Okay, I'm not lukewarm. Cold. I'm cold.
Okay, we're not even room temperature. We're just cold. We're in the refrigerator right now. So that is why I'm picking Bruce Bochy. He is going to get past those Jacob deGrom injuries. It doesn't matter if it's five starts or 25 starts for Jacob deGrom with Nathan Eovaldi, with missing a couple of other dudes in there. Martin Perez, who's back. I think we're going to have a great, like I talked about in the last podcast, about how sometimes players in their first season don't look as good. Sometimes players don't look as good in their first season when they get to a new place. Sometimes they need that second season, like the Francisco Lindors. That's why I picked Juan Soto. I think he'll be better his second season in San Diego. I think the same can be said with the Marcus Simeons and Corey Seager, who had good seasons last year, the first year in Texas, but I think they will be even better their second year in Texas. So you got those guys with the Josh Jungs, rookie making his debut. You got Adolis Garcia, who's a borderline 30-30 guy. Nathan Lowe is solid. I look at the lineup. You got dudes who can hit, dudes with power, dudes with speed. Look at the rotation. I think if DeGrom, we don't know about his health, but even after DeGrom, I don't mind the depth of that rotation. Maybe their bullpen is a little bit to be desired, but offensively, I think they could get it done from a pitching perspective. I think they could get it done. I think the Rangers are a dark horse sleeper team, and then that's why Bruce Bochy, when you're talking about managers getting the award because they took a team above expectations, watch out for the Rangers and Bruce Bochy to do the same thing, especially when you compare it to Sully Baseball's expectations of this team.
I'd like to see the Rangers do well. I have nothing against the Rangers, and I love Bruce Bochy. I just too many things have to go his way. Now, if the team does stay healthy, I trust Bruce Bochy. You know, he's earned our trust, and he's shown that he can recover. I mean, like couple of teams that he had go deep had tremendous injuries to their staff, to their lineup. He's a wonderful Hall of Fame manager. I just don't see it. The American League, the team that I think is going to have one of the best rebounds, I think it's going to be the Twins. And so I think Rocco Baldelli is going to win Manager of the Year with the Minnesota Twins. I have what's called the Coen Brothers rule. That is, if you've won an award or multiple awards, I can't get mad if you don't pad your resume. Dusty Baker has won Manager of the Year several times in his career. So I can't get mad if they don't, even if the Astros win 118 games, they're not going to give it to him. They're not going to give to Sir, unless if the Mariners overtake the Astros, Service may get it. There's no way they'll give it to Aaron Boone, even if he is possessed by the spirit of Earl Weaver, because he's just looked upon as, dangling on the strings controlled by Brian Cashman. And John Schneider is a definite possibility, especially if the Blue Jays do really well wire to wire and win the division. And same thing goes with Terry Francona, which goes against my Coen Brothers rule. But if he wins yet another Manager of the Year award with Cleveland, I'm going to lean on the Twins because I think they're going to have a winning record. And a lot of times if a team has a winning record after not having a winning record, that's when they usually give the Manager of the Year to that. So
fun trivia question for you, Sully Baseball, real quick, because looking at the voting from last year, I forgot the Orioles manager finished second in Manager of the Year voting last year. Do you know his name? I did not.
Brandon Hyde.
Okay. I did not remember his name when I looked at this list. I was like, is that common knowledge? I do not know. So yeah. I just found that as a fun fact. I forgot I finished second in the Manager of the Year voting. I was like, if you asked me his name, I probably would have got that wrong at a bar if that was a trivia question on Trivia Night, unfortunately. But let's move to the National League, Sully Baseball, at the Manager of the Year award. And again, I'm sticking with my theme of the super team here because I picked this player to win the MVP. I'm also going to pick his manager to win Manager of the Year award because I think this team is going to be taking home a lot of awards. They're going to be coming up in our division winner's pick because I just love the idea of super teams when it comes to basketball. I love when we got all the big threes together. LeBron going to Miami, Kevin Durant going to Golden State. I'm a guy that likes to see dynastic situations. I want to look back on my time in, sports fan and be like, man, you remember that team in that era that just went on that run and just dominated that sport for that many years? I think the San Diego Padres could potentially do it. Maybe we'll see. In baseball, it's tough, but I think they got the core for it to do it. And I think we got a team that's as talented as them. Maybe that denigrates the case a little bit of a Bob Melvin, but if he goes in there and they meet the expectations and they win 108 games and they win the division from the LA Dodgers, which is probably the biggest thing, the biggest check mark you need to win that division. If you take the crown off the LA Dodgers' head, then I think you're going to be right in the mix to win the Manager of the Year award if that happens.
And he's going to be this year's Dusty Baker. You know, that if the Padres win the World Series, Bob Melvin would have finally won a World Series. And if you take everything he did with Arizona, taking a team at a negative run differential to the NLCS, all those years with the Oakland A's where they kept pulling the rug from under him and he kept putting a quality team, making the playoffs in 2012, 2013, 2014, 2018, 2019, and 2020, all with a bargain basement team, and now has taken the Padres to the NLCS. The only thing he hasn't done as a manager is get to the World Series and win it. He has won the Manager of the Year before, and he is a great choice. And I think, and people, if they win the World Series in San Diego, which will be the first ever World Series title in San Diego Padres history, there's his Hall of Fame candidacy becomes interesting because everything he had done with Arizona and Oakland suddenly pads his resume. Using my "they give it to the team that has a winning record that you're not expected to" thesis, ladies and gentlemen, rookie manager Skip Schumacher of the Miami Marlins. I'm not saying he should be the manager of the year. I'm saying if the Marlins have a winning year, and by the way, whenever Don Mattingly leaves a team, that team is World Series bound. So the Marlins are going to be soon getting ready for World Series title number 3 in their team history. Not this year, but very, very soon, which, by the way, would be more than the Angels and more than Cleveland and more than the Mets if they win another World Series. Skip Schumacher is my pick to win it, even though it'll probably deserve to go to Melvin. They wouldn't give it to him because he has, ironically, for the first time in his entire career, his team has spent money.
I forgot that Don Mattingly was ousted by the Miami Marlins. So I have to go back and re-look at the case now for the Marlins as his breakout team, because you get the Don Mattingly effect where he gets to lead this franchise. You get the poo-poo off your franchise. You get that stink away, start smelling new, like you just put some fresh deodorant on, just got out the shower. Maybe that's what the Marlins need, a new voice in that locker room. Sometimes that's all you need is a new voice. So maybe the Marlins are the breakout team this season.
Never forget what my father said in 2014 when my father, may rest in peace, biggest Giants fan I ever met. In 2014, the Dodgers were in first place and the Giants were behind them. And my dad kept saying, "I think the Giants will go well. I think the Giants may go back to the World Series. They may win it." I said, "I don't know, Dad, the Dodgers, they look really good. Like Kershaw, he's really great. Grinke," he said, "they look like a really great team." And my dad said to me, "Paul, never forget, they're managed by an idiot," who was Don Mattingly, was the manager at the time. And Mattingly managed to manage the Dodgers out of the postseason, and the Giants, led by Madison Bumgarner, went on to win the World Series, much to the delight of my dad. And let me tell you something. I just should always have listened to my dad, because he knew where to go. And wherever he said, that's where you put your money down. And if you're going to put your money down, go to FanDuel. The tournament is heating up. There's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn, sign up today, and claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on anything from money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net, all in an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. All right, welcome back to Locked On Trashing Don Mattingly. I'm your host, Sully, with Miller Thomas. Let's get to our division picks. Let's get down to it. All right? Let's get down. Let's get dirty. Let's get in the mud. All right? Where are we going first?
Let's start on the American
League. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get our American National League division picks. three wildcard teams for each one. And for the final segment, we're going to do our incredibly and ludicrously early World Series and playoff predictions to see how we do.
Okay. Right. Let's start in the American League then. Sully, baseball, we'll just run through the division winners first. We'll go through division by division. Let's start in the American League East. And this is a tough one that AL East is typically – you could make the argument with the NL West, maybe the best division baseball. I think it's another season where that top of the division is going to be a battle with the dogs in that division. But I truly, in my heart of hearts, think it's going to be a two-team race between the New York Yankees and the Toronto Blue Jays at the top of the division. I think, as we talked about in the last podcast, I believe, like you, the Blue Jays could be the breakout team of the American League this year. And I think the Blue Jays are going to win that division. I love the Yankees offseason adding Rodon, but he's already starting the season on an injured list. The Blue Jays entering the offseason pretty healthy, signed Chris Bassett, traded for my guy Dalton Varsho, and they still got, listen, Jose Barrios, they paid a lot of money. He could still have a bounce back season and live up to that money. And if you do get a good Barrios with the Gausmans and the Bassetts of the world and Alec Manoah, like, you have a four-headed rotation over there in Toronto. So I like the Blue Jays as the best team. And plus, you got Bichette, Vlad Guerrero. Like, they're just loaded. They're stacked with talent. I like the Blue Jays to win that division.
I think three games are going to separate first from third in the American League East. I think that I'm going to pick the Yankees because I think in the end they're going to have I think eventually their rotation is going to be set. I know there's some bumps and bruises now, but I think they're going to be okay. I like the addition of Volpe and what that means to the team. I think Stanton's going to have a better year than he had last year, because if you look back, Stanton didn't really have a very good year last year. But I also think the Rays are going to be healthy. They're coming back from a year where they won the pennant in the COVID year. They won 100 games the next year. And then last year, they were all banged up and still made the playoffs. And, of course, Toronto had a mediocre first half and still won 90-something games. So I really think you could pick any one of those three teams. I'm picking the Yankees because I just think that there is a lot of talent on that team, also maybe for reverse psychology. But I think they're all mid 90 win teams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's gonna be like one's gonna win 95, one's gonna win 94, one's gonna win like 92 by the end of the year. I think Baltimore is gonna take a little bit of a step back unless they make an improvement. I think the Red Sox are gonna be, I don't think any team's gonna lose 90 games in that division.
I think the Red Sox are bad, but I don't think they're like,
I think the Red Sox are not good, but I don't think they're 90 loss bad.
They're not,
I think
the they're Oakland
losing,
A's.
I think they're a losing team.
Yeah, they're not like the A's or Reds.
No. Well, I think the A's are better than people think they are.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
But I'm going to pick the Yankees, but it's a complete coin toss between those three teams. Okay, let's move to the Central, which is a oddly intriguing division to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I know you like the Twins.
Like the Twins, and I'm going to pick the Twins to win the division. Even though I like the Guardians a lot, and on paper they should win it. But there's also a lot of young players on that team who could either take a huge step forward and they run away with the division, or they could take a little step back. I think Minnesota, who, lest we forget, were tied for first place on Labor Day weekend, just need to have a better finale to the season. I like the Lopez deal. I like bringing back Correa. I like this team. I don't think there's a 90 win team in the bunch. I think they're going to win 87, 88 wins, which is enough to win the division. But I'm skeptical of Chicago. I think Cleveland could run away with the division. This pick could look ridiculous. But I think that Cleveland and Toronto are both mid 80 win teams right now. And I'm picking, I'm going to pick Minnesota in basically a coin toss.
Yeah, I think Minnesota is improved from last year. I still think they have question marks when it comes to their depth. And we still are always going to have that big question mark. can Byron Buxton stay healthy for the course of a full season? Because if we ever get a 145 game season out of Byron Buxton, he might put up some video game superstar numbers, some MVP type numbers, because he has the talent to maybe come home with that hardware one day, but he never plays enough games to do it. So I like the Twins, but I'm again just going to ride with the chalk pick here of the division winner from last year, just because the Cleveland Guardians, I think, just have so many like legit stars at different positions. When you look at the Jose Ramirez, who's a legit MVP candidate, Andrés Giménez was like top five in WAR last year. Like, he had a quietly really good season last year for the Guardians. And look at that rotation. Bieber, I think, could win a Cy Young. Tristan McKenzie might be the best number two starter, a top five number two starter in all of baseball. So I think when you look at the ceiling of some of those players on the Cleveland Guardians, I think they're just a lot more stars that I believe in that can stay healthy over the course of a full season and raise the floor of the Cleveland Guardians versus other teams in that division. Again, I already said on the last pod, I'm not into the Chicago White Sox. I think they're going to be a big disappointment. And I think we both think the Detroit Tigers and Kansas City Royals are just not even worth talking about. There's nothing really exciting going over there in those two cities. So I think I got the Guardians in the AL Central.
And who knows, maybe I'm making some of these picks so they're more interesting than just picking all the same teams that won last year. I think the single easiest pick in all of baseball is the American League West. I think the Astros are the lone legitimately great team in the American League. And I think Seattle's very good. I think Seattle could potentially be a 90-win team. And I still think the Astros are going to win 100 some odd games and just coast to the, because, you know, with a balanced schedule, the Astros are going to be playing teams like the Pirates and the Rockies and the Reds and the, you know, the teams that aren't even attempting to put a major league product on the field. So I think the Astros have a shot at like 105, 106 wins. And just cruise to that division.
Yeah. I mean, I have the Astros too. I do think the Mariners do have a chance though, win that division, just because you look at the lineup with the Julio Rodriguez, of course, from last year. They traded for Teoscar Hernandez, yeah. Kyle Riley, their catcher, had almost 30 bombs last season. So I think they got dudes in their lineup. Their rotation
they're
is really
good. They're good.
Yeah. They're good. Castillo, Robbie Ray, Logan Gilbert, George Kirby can have a breakout season. Like, I think that team is really deep in terms of quality starting pitching and dudes in their lineup. But again, I would agree that the Astros are the runaway team. Like, the Astros are like the MLB version of the Golden State Warriors until they get knocked off, until they don't make it to the championship series, because they made it to the ALCS every single year since 2017. Until we get a year where they get knocked off in the division round, the wild card round, or don't make the postseason, I think it's Astros versus the field in the American League every single season until we see that happen. I think they deserve to be the favorite for the division winner, and they're probably going to win a whole bunch of games. They added Jose, or they might have lost Verlander, but they did add to that lineup with Jose Abreu this offseason, which is just a crazy addition to that team. So I got the Astros running it back in the AL West as well.
The Mariners would win the Central by five or six games, and they're probably going to lose the West by a dozen.
Maybe by 10 games they could win the Central.
Let's go to the National League. The National League East is going to be the hardest to pick, because you have, I think you have four teams in that division that are trying, and you have a minor league team that plays in Washington. You could make the case for Atlanta or for New York to win that division. I'm sure someone will make a case, because remember, the Phillies actually won the pennant, and I think the Marlins are going to make a big improvement. Hey, do you know who's going to help me pick the National League East? It's my friend George right here. Heads for Mets, tails for Braves. Looks like a good time to be in Atlanta. So I'm picking the Braves. But, I mean, it's a coin toss. And I know some of my listeners think that I'm being anti-Brave. I'm picking them to win the division. And I think they're a 100-win team. And I think they could potentially win the World Series. I can say the same thing for the Mets. So, and so I think both of those teams are going to be very good. I think the Braves are going to win because the coin toss told me so. But it could just as easily go to the Mets.
And we know George Washington has never told a lie in his life. I'm actually going to agree with you here on the Atlanta Braves. The Mets, I love. I mean, You swapped out DeGrom for Verlander. That should be raise your ceiling a little bit just based off health. Verlander, I think, has been a little bit healthy, even though he did miss some time last season as well. But Verlander, Max Scherzer.
He missed two goddamn seasons.
So maybe he can't really make the argument of better health with Justin Verlander. But I just love the narrative and the vibe of reuniting Verlander and Max Scherzer together. That's just a very fun storyline just to watch, just because those guys were two dominant dudes back on the Tigers so many years ago. Now they're reunited back in New York. But I think the Braves just have a better infrastructure when you look at the lineup. I think you could say maybe the Mets rotation is better than the Braves, but you got that coin right there. I think it's a coin flip. I think it just by hairs, the rotation might be better than the Atlanta Braves. But I think the lineup might be a little bit better in Atlanta and maybe more than a coin flip. I think it might be maybe decidedly is too strong, but we got Acuna and the Alsons and the Rileys, and then you got the Michael Harrises, and the Braves seem to have just so many dudes coming up through their system. The Mets have a pretty decent system as well, but I think the Spencer Strider and Michael Harris getting a full season out of those two dudes. I love this Mets team. I think they're going to win around 97 games as well. Steven Cohen is not afraid to spend money. I mean, by the end of the season, the Mets might have a better team because they might do some crazy addition at the deadline, something like that. We know they're going to be in the mix for every trade deadline guy. But when I look at the infrastructure on paper from the lineup, rotation, bullpen, I just think the Braves have A pluses across the board. Meanwhile, I think there might be a B plus snuck in somewhere on the Mets report card. So I like the Braves to win that division.
Yeah, but I mean, it's razor thin in my opinion.
Yeah,
it's close. A very different division. When we did our NL Central preview that you heard earlier this week, you have the St. Louis Cardinals, who have kind of a thin rotation. They're top heavy with the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have four rebuilding teams that will inevitably be rebuilding once the Brewers decide to trade away Corbin Burns, which is now inevitable. So just by default, the Cardinals are going to win that division because they're the only team that's trying.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. The Cardinals are my pick. And the Cardinals, they have a large influx of young talent that just coming through that system the last couple of years. We got Jordan Walker, the top prospect, coming in this year. He had Brendan Donovan, the Tommy Edmonds of the world, the Dylan Carlsons of the world. Like, there is a lot of young talent in that lineup. I don't know if it's, like, star talent. I don't know what the ceiling of those players are. Maybe Jordan Walker turns into the star. But just the fact that you're adding a whole bunch of 20 to 25-year-olds into that lineup as a team that's already a contender, it's always nice to have the veterans like the Goldschmidts and the Nolan Arenados and then mix in that young infusion of young talent as well. The Brewers, I'm not in on. Yelich, I don't know what's happened to that guy since he won his MVP because he has not looked like the same dude. That offense has been bad. The rotation is still probably going to be good in Milwaukee. We have Peralta, Woodruff, and Corbin Burns, but there's not really much to talk about this division. I think the real question is which Central division is worse, the American League Central or the NL Central, because I think that's the most interesting question mark surrounding both of these divisions.
NL Central is worse. NL Central is worse, and I'll tell you why. Because Cleveland's trying. Chicago's trying. Minnesota's trying. Whether or not they're succeeding, that's a different question. The Pirates are in full rebuild mode. The Cubs don't know what the hell they are. The Reds don't know what the hell they are. And the Brewers are about to rebuild. And the Cardinals would be a third-place team in the NL East and a third-place team in the NL West, and they're going to run away with the NL Central. I mean, they'll run away with it with an 88-win team.
It's actually crazy that both of those Central divisions are just going to have like seven teams that don't even try this season. And it's going to be a runaway at the top. And I just wish the bottom of those divisions were a little bit better because I don't like to see so many teams trying to tank. I think baseball is going to get to a point where they do curb the tanking because we see the new lottery rules where you can only spend like three seasons in the lottery before you're automatically bumped. So I do think there will come a point where we see the curve on tanking come all the way around where we don't see the Oakland A's and the Cincinnati Reds rosters going to the season or a whole bunch of minor leagues. But until it gets enforced, I think we'll still probably have a couple more years where we see these divisions where it seems like half the teams in it or more than half the teams in these divisions don't even try and don't even care about the product that they put on the field.
So let's go to the West. Which I'm not going to go to the coin. I have a team I think I'm going to pick, even though I think there are two wonderful teams there. I think San Diego is better than Los Angeles this year. I don't think it's a runaway.
No.
I think San Diego is going to be a high 90-win team. I think Los Angeles is going to be a high 90-win team. I think about three or four games is going to separate them. But I think the Padres are going to finish ahead, but not by a lot. I think LA is still a really talented squad. I think it's the last stand for Clayton Kershaw. And I think there's still a lot of talent on that team. And I think they will fill a bunch of those holes from within. The Dodgers have a wonderful system, and they will put themselves in a position to make a big move at the trade deadline. That being said, the Padres, they've assembled a super team and have an oddly for San Diego, a World Series or bust mentality. And I think that this is what we're going to see.
Yeah, I got the Padres too for all the reasons I've said the last how many pods we've done. But you cannot count out this LA Dodgers squad with the amount of time that they've have on their roster currently. And the fact that they're like a magician, they always know how to pull a rabbit out their hat. Wait, they signed Trey Turner. They traded for Trey Turner and got Max Scherzer in the deal. Somehow the Dodgers are always pulling off crazy hijinks like that where they're able to get these superstars as throw-ins in these major trade packages, which make no sense. And so you can never count out the Dodgers once we get to the trade deadline. Maybe they get a little quiet in the offseason, but when the trade deadline rolls around, it always feels like the Dodgers are one of the most active teams in baseball. So if they do see a Padres team, maybe with a 2.5 game lead on them come trade deadline, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Dodgers unload a couple of prospects and try to go big fish hunting come the trade deadline. But as it currently stands, like I said, you got that big four in your lineup for the Padres, which I love. The rotation is really deep as well. Darvish, Musgrove, Snell, Michael Wacha. Bullpen's going to be solid. Give me the Padres in the NL West.
Now, you mentioned the Dodgers. They do have a way, and it's their GMs and their front office. They know how to make the big moves. And, man, it would be so much fun to be a GM. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's high pressure. But if you want to try it out, let me tell you something. I found the coolest game I played in a long time, and people know who follow me. My whole life, I've grown up pretending at my own leagues and my own teams, fantasy teams, teams with made up names, teams with established players. I've, you know, played hardball, kept score. I knew all the fake characters in hardball. Why? That's how much hardball I played. I kept score and I ran the team like a GM. Well, guess what? The best way to ever do it is pro baseball GM, the ultimate pro baseball GM. It's the coolest game I played in a long time. And do you know what? It's not easy being a general manager. Trust me. I am the general manager of the fake Honolulu Waves. Do you know what? They're not looking too good for you. We may have to rebuild. Now, if you have the same thought I've had you want about managing your own franchises, go download the ultimate pro baseball GM right now. The game allows you to manage every aspect of running a franchise, playing through seasons, leading your franchise and fans to glory as you build a historic dynasty. Or we're just trying to finish 500 in Honolulu. In the simulation, you're responsible for hiring the right coaches, staff. You manage the team's finances. That's fun. Scouting and drafting players. Manage your difficult personalities and injuries. Navigating your franchise through free agency and the ups and downs of the season. All this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Baseball GM is completely free and playable offline and play on the go as you want and when you want to. Locked On MLB listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using promo Locked On in the game store. So make sure to check it out. To download the game, just visit probaseballgm.com, scan the code, or look it up in the app stores. probaseballgm.com, Ultimate Baseball GM. Start your dynasty today. Okay, let's do our final segment. First of all, we got three wildcard teams to pick in each league.
Yeah.
Who do you got in the American?
The American. My first, I'll just run through all three, I guess, real quick. The first one I have is the Toronto Blue Jays. The New York
Yankees. New Orleans? Wait, who's moving to New Orleans?
I know. I'm just stuttering and slurring all my words right there. I got the New York Yankees, who I said is going to be in a close race with the Toronto Blue Jays. I agree with you. It's probably going to be within three games or less the top of that division. And I think the New York Yankees, I think they're super talented. Love the Rodon, Nestor Cortez, Gerrit Cole, top three in your rotation. I want to see if Gleyber Torres maybe gets a little pissed off with all the talk about Anthony Volpe being the middle infielder of the future. Gleyber Torres used to be that guy. He used to be the golden child for that New York Yankees franchise. Maybe seeing Anthony Volpe get some of that shine will be the spark plug that lights the fire under Gleyber Torres' ass and brings him back to all-star status. So we'll see. So I got the New York Yankees as one of my locks in the wild card. My second lock in the wild card, I got the Seattle Mariners, who, of course, I think are going to be a breakout team this season. Already broke out last year. I think they're going to be improved this year because that rotation is deep. That rotation is young. Their lineup is young as well. We'll see if Jared Kelenic ever comes around and turns into a real major leaguer. But even if he does it, I think they have enough pieces up and down that roster to win a, 95 to 98 games. So I love the Mariners this year. Then the third wild card, I think, is very tough because I am bullish on the Los Angeles Angels. I am bullish on the Texas Rangers. I think they might hit the over on the win total. Now, do I think they'll make the wild card? I do not know. If you're telling me the wild card is like 87 games, 86, then I do think either of those teams could make it. But the wild card is 89, 90 games. I'm going to have to go with the Tampa Bay Rays, who I don't believe in as a playoff team, but they know how to garner regular season success. Their stats, their analytics, they just know how to win games. They know how to throw out pitchers off the scrap heap because you just go in and pitch to a 3-2 ERA they've never heard of in your life. And you're like, whoa, how did that guy turn into a number three starter in Major League Baseball? The Rays are a machine when it comes to the regular season. They know how to just get the best out their players. I think in the postseason is where they get exposed, but in the regular season, I do think they usually have enough talent to win around 90 games and make the wild card. So I'm not picking the Rangers or the Angels, but if either of those teams were a dark horse team and made the wild card, I wouldn't be surprised. I at least want to get that on the record, but I'm not picking either of those teams. Rays, Yankees, Mariners are my three wild card teams.
Well, I picked the we're kind of similar in some way. I picked the Yankees to win the division. I have Toronto being one of the wild card teams.
Yeah.
And I think Seattle, I think both Toronto and Seattle are going to be 90 win teams. The hardest thing for me was determining whether I was going to go Cleveland or Tampa. Okay. I have no faith in the Angels. I have no faith in the Rangers. I have no faith in the White Sox. And I don't think the Orioles are contending yet. I think I'm going to lean to Tampa, because I think Cleveland's going to take a couple of steps back. This is not me rooting against Cleveland. I would love to see Francona and company win that World Series. They probably should have won in 2016 or 2017. But this is picking with my heart, not my head, or picking my head, not my heart, whichever one. And I have nothing against against the Minnesota Twins either. I think the Twins are going to have a worse record than the Mariners and the Blue Jays, who are both going to be wild card teams. And with that in mind, I'm just going to lean for Tampa Bay. It would not stun me if Cleveland wins the division, but I don't think two playoff teams are coming out of the AL Central. Okay, let's move to the National League. The National League, I have the other end of that coin flip with the Mets, because I picked the Braves to win the division. I have Los Angeles. Because think about the quality of wild card teams we have in the National League. You're going to have LA and the Mets both be wild card teams, in my humble opinion. But who is that third wild card team going to be? This is where it gets interesting. Ooh. Am I going with the defending National League champion Phillies? No. Am I going with any team in the National League Central? No. Am I going with the Giants? Dad, please forgive me. But no. Uh-uh. Am I going with the Diamondbacks? Millard, forgive me. Oh. No. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going deep sea fishing.
Oh, man.
The old man in the sea is reeling in a marlin. And I think the Marlins are going to be the third playoff team. Do I think they're going to get their butts kicked by LA or the Mets? Yes. But I think they'll be in it. They're in it to win it.
I mean,
so here's the finit.
I mean, I can't hate the pick after relearning that Don Mattingly was ousted. That could just be the stink that you need. I'm going to be pretty boring with my picks because I think I'm just going with the chalk that was the playoffs last season, because in terms of the teams that I'm picking to make the postseason, the order is a little bit different because, like you, I got the Dodgers as one of the wild card teams. I mean, I think you're going to have two NL West teams, if not three, make the wild card. But I think there's a lock, two teams from that division as a wild card. I think the New York Mets are probably a lock too. They just got too much talent. They spend too much money to not be a good team. And then as much as I would like to be a homer once again and be biased to pick the D-backs, because again, with these arguments, it's like, can your team win 87, 88 games? I think the D-backs probably could if that's what it takes to win the wild card. Do think the D-backs could get that, but I think that's the best case scenario. I think more realistically, the D-backs are like an 81, 82 win team if, you know, in a realistic world. So that's why I'm going with the chalk pick and just picking the team that went to the World Series last year. They lost Rhys Hoskins. Bryce Harper's going to miss half this season with Tommy John surgery. But Trey Turner is coming in to be a potential MVP for that team. What he could do in the middle of that lineup with his speed. He's now a power bat as well. Aaron Nola is in a contract year as well. And listen, contract year players usually perform pretty well. So you get contract year Nola. Zach Wheeler still there. Still got a pretty stacked lineup that you spent a whole bunch of money on. I think this Phillies team is still probably good enough to win 88 games and make the third wild card team. But I think I'm going to be doing the same thing, Silly Baseball, and be like, hey, it's September. Did you know the D-backs third place? And maybe it's even better than third place. Maybe the D-backs have a wild card spot for one day in September, and I get to talk about it for the next 3 months after that.
All right, last thing.
Oh, we got one more
World Series. Ridiculously early World Series prediction.
Yeah, well, if you listened at all to our picks and if you've been tracking, you could probably guess who we're going to pick here. So from the American League, like I said, I'm going with the Golden State Warriors of baseball, the Houston Astros, because until someone knocks them off, it's hard to not pick them. They quite literally, I mean, they were undefeated until the World Series last season. Just last year, they ran through the whole American League. Maybe they had one loss until they got to the World Series. Like, they literally just dominated the postseason last year. They dominated the postseason every year since 2017. So I'm picking the Astros once again to go to the World Series. Then out the National League, it's the year of the super team. I'm going with the core four up in San Diego. I don't want an NL West team to win the World Series, but I do think it would be cool to see the Padres there with Xander Bogaerts, who we both love from his days in the Boston Red Sox uniform. They got Manny Machado. They got the Soto. They got the Tatis. I think it would just be fun. I just think that would be a fun World Series. A whole lot of talent, a whole lot of star power. Tatis is going to be talking crap. Manny Machado is going to be talking crap. There's going to be some bad blood, I think, that could be spilled between those two teams. I think there's going to be a lot of animosity between those two teams because some of those players got big egos on both of those teams. Some of those players are not afraid to talk trash. I think a Padres versus Astros World Series, where maybe we get some new blood and the Padres win it in seven games because the Astros can't win it every single season.
Well, in 1987,
okay,
Dusty Baker was the hitting coach of the Giants, and the reserve catcher was Bob Melvin. And there was going to be a 1987 Giants reunion in the World Series, and I agree with you. Melvin and Dusty Baker.
Wow.
Will Melvin finally add a World Series title to his resume, or will Dusty Baker make it back-to-back? And I believe Dusty Baker is going to take it back-to-back, and the Astros will sweep the San Diego Padres for the World Series title. And because of that, put your money down for Cardinals Twins, because my picks are always wrong, but I'm picking the Astros to beat the Padres in the World Series. And I think it's going to be a really fun year. And Miller Thomas, you and I are going to be meeting at least once a week for a little therapy sessions that we have here. Miller, tell people where they can follow your terrific show.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at CareerThomas24 for my personal account. Look up the show account, Locked On Diamondbacks. Just type it in the little search bar on both Twitter, Instagram. Please listen to the show wherever you stream your podcast, like Locked On MLB. And please hit subscribe on the Locked On Diamondbacks YouTube channel.
Hey, thanks for making Locked On MLB your first listen. For your second listen, obviously make that Locked On Diamondbacks. For your third listen, check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Win your league to listening to Matt and Dom every day as they bring you the best fantasy draft strategies. Find Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much, Miller Thomas. Thanks so much for listening. Season's going to start soon. I got the In Memoriam video, which is being released just before the first pitch. And we're going to talk about an upcoming episode. And then we're going to be talking about who owned baseball and everything like that. So on behalf of Miller Thomas of Locked On Diamondbacks, I am Paul Francis Sullivan of Locked On MLB. Another good show, Miller. Let's fist pump it.
Boom.